You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes.
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial, and with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown, and through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to the Total Screamers podcast with me, Burnley manager Sean Dyche. I like playing 4-4-2, I love playing looky-likies with the lads at the pub, and I would absolutely batter Nigel Pearson in a fight. Thanks for listening, and enjoy the podcast. Cheers!
Hello everybody, welcome back to the Total Screamers podcast. Today I'm joined by Jed. Say hello, Jed.
Hello, mate.
And we're also joined by Paul. How are you doing, Paul?
Hey, Jake.
We're talking Champions League football this week, boys.
The
only
champions.
Four games. There we go. Nicely introduced by Jed there. Only four games to talk about, but four, I'd say, pretty decent games to start with. Hey, boys, for the Champions League return, the round of 16 yeah. started in good fashion. And we'll start with the Kylian Mbappe show, or Barcelona 1, PSG 4. Jed, what did you make of this?
Great game. Really, really entertaining game of football all the way through. I thought in the first half, things were a little bit more even. Barcelona weren't brilliant, but PSG didn't really sort of hit their stride fully in the first half. Second half, they just completely dominated and exposed the weaknesses that Barcelona have at the minute, which is primarily their defence. It's just not what it was in previous years. I thought PSG were, in that second half, they were really, really good and they were playing like contenders for the trophy. Mbappe, as you mentioned, ran the show. What a talent he is. Absolutely incredible performance. Scored some lovely goals and they've basically put themselves through already. I know in the Champions League, you never know. Yeah, but when you 4-1 down, and you've still got to go away, as Barcelona have. I don't see them winning this tie, to be honest.
Paul, I'd imagine you were probably like me. You probably watched the highlights of this because it was on during the Liverpool game. What did you make of it when you sort of were getting the updates and watched
it?
Yeah,
I was kind of flicking back and forth, especially in the first half. Before the game, didn't think it would be 4-1, obviously. When I saw Messi, Dembele and Griezmann up front, I thought they'd do all right. But then watching the game, watching the first half, they were just so predictable and so pedestrian, like with the ball. Mm. It was like, definitely, it looked like they'll give the ball to Messi and hope for the best. I was really surprised. I haven't watched much of Barca, but yeah, Griezmann just seemed so off the pace. Mm. Nothing like the player from a few years ago. And then, yeah, Messi got the first goal. And then you're kind of thinking, oh, this Barca will do all right here. But then, yeah, PSG just came back into it and, yeah, destroyed them in the second half. But, yeah, that Barca team, they really are so far past it. Messi wants to go, obviously, and then Busquets, Piqué, Jordi Alba, they've been there so long that they really just need to start afresh, I think.
Yeah. I mean, I watched the game back on BT on the highlights after the Liverpool game. And like you say, Paul, when Barcelona took the lead, I was sort of expecting the old Barcelona where they go on and sort of take PSG to pieces like they did a few years ago, but it was complete opposite. And I think Mbappe, I mean, he's just staked his claim, hasn't he, to the third best player behind Messi and Ronaldo, I think. And it was a bit of a passing of the torch moment, potentially, as well. A lot of people were saying online, Messi passing the torch to Mbappe, who showed everything. I think it was a complete performance, wasn't it, from him? I mean, all the goals were really, really good. All different goals as well. You had the poaching goal, the run through the entire team goal. PK tried his absolute best to get back at him, didn't he? Came nowhere near him. But yeah, I thought PSG were great. And they'll hopefully now want to go one step further, won't they? Obviously beating finalists last year. Do you think they're in with a good shout of winning the whole tournament this year?
I do. Off that performance, I would say yes. Against the better side, they'd probably be more tested. But what you've got to remember is they didn't have Neymar, didn't have Di Maria in the side, and they still demolished Barcelona. So I think that they are genuine contenders for it this year. I think Bayern Munich are probably the favourites still. But yeah, it's knockout football, isn't it? Anything can happen.
Exactly.
I mean, as you said, obviously, you guys watched the highlights because the Liverpool game was on. I thought for balance, I would watch this game so one of us has seen the full 90 minutes. The Barcelona opening goal, I'd say it was sort of against the run of play a little bit. While it was a more even half in the second half, PSG, for the most part, had been on top inside the early parts of the game. And the penalty itself, my first instinct was that it wasn't a penalty. I don't know, obviously, I'm sure you've seen it, guys. But it's really one that you have to look at from the right angle to think it's a penalty.
Yeah.
Because the first replay they showed, it looked like De Jong clipped his own leg. And then there was one reverse angle where there was a slight bit of contact which moved his leg onto the other one, and that's how he went down. Really tight call, though. What do you make of that?
Yeah, I did see that. And like you, mate, the first couple of replays, I was like, don't know how that's a penalty, but like you say, there's that one replay that showed it. And in the end, I think it was a really good call to give it. But yeah, when I was watching it, it did look like it was against the run of play. And then PSG sort of just, well, credit to PSG, you know, they went behind, but then didn't show any signs of what Barcelona do basically at the moment. And when they go behind, just sort of fall apart a little bit.
And they got the equaliser quite quickly as well.
They did. That certainly helped them.
Absolutely. And that equaliser, that the first Mbappe goal, was just absolutely brilliant. The footwork in the box to just sort of skip past the defender, and he's just absolutely smashed it into the net.
Yeah.
I mean, it was a brilliant goal, and he is some talent. Like, I genuinely think that he will be one of the best in the world. I think he's already at that level, isn't he? But in the next few years, he's going to, when he hits his peak, he's going to be an insane player. Now, I've seen a few comparisons between him and the original Ronaldo after that game the other night. And I can see it, because he's strong, he's quick, he's really talented on the ball. Like, it's a good comparison to make, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. Paul, what do you... Barcelona have been in a bit of free fall for a while now. What do you think that needs to happen at that club to turn essentially the best side in the world to a bit of a laughing stock in Europe? Like, they are a bit of a laughing stock, aren't they, at the moment? You know, Roma turned it around against them, Liverpool turned it around against them. They got knocked out last year, and then obviously they've just been battered here. I mean, the Messi saga. What do you think they need to do, mate, to turn that around?
It seems like it all starts at the top. Like, there's a lot of problems in the background with the president. So it seems like they need to sort that out. And then once they sort that out, then it'll be like whether Messi will stay. Obviously, Messi said he's going to leave, or he'll stay one more season or whatever. But then that could easily change if he gets even more money than he's already getting, or like gets a few more promises or something like that. But I really think that Koeman is there just for this season, until they sort out the presidency and get a more long-term strategy. Like, it's such a bizarre appointment, I think, anyway, managing like Everton and Southampton to go in to manage Barca just because he played for them. Like, fair enough if it was like Guardiola and he's kind of young and it's his one of first jobs, but like, Koeman's been around for so long and hasn't exactly won the lot or anything like that. So it seemed like his appointment was kind of just for the season to see how it went. And yeah, they're like 10 points off Atletico. And then, yeah, out of Champions League. Like, they obviously did something right in the group stages to get through.
Yeah.
But then this is just, like you said, just fell apart, I think. Like, for the first goal, the finish is amazing, but the defending was atrocious.
Yeah. I think
Piqué and Lenglet just kind of looked at Mbappé, and then he just smashed it in. But yeah, like, I don't know. You wonder what's going on that they can just collapse like that so easily. Obviously, PSG are good, but, and they are, I wouldn't say they're favourites, but they're in, like, top four maybe to win it. But it's, yeah, you shouldn't be, like, falling apart that easily, I don't think. But yeah, it'll be interesting. Like, it could be Messi's last game in the Champions League for Barca, which is
absolutely
which is kind of weird to think about. Where he'll go after that is interesting as well.
As controversial as it is, I think for Barcelona to move forward now, I think they almost need to let go of Messi. Because the saga's rolling on now. I mean, he's not getting any younger. He's, what, 33, 34? He's on extortionate wages. Barcelona, a club that are hemorrhaging cash at the minute. They're still paying off the Coutinho deal, and that was nearly 3 years ago. You know, they've made some ridiculous transfer decisions. I mean, the Coutinho deal alone, 100-plus million pounds. Dembele from Borussia Dortmund was a ridiculous fee. Yeah. You know, I feel like they need to start again.
They need a rebuild.
Absolutely, mate. And I think, you know, as much as Barcelona probably don't want to admit it, they're probably gonna have to get rid of Messi anyway. But if they sign him again for another 3 years on, however, I don't even know how much money he's on, like £1 million a week or something ridiculous like that. I mean, it's not a great financial plan, to say the least. But I agree with what you say about Koeman. I read today that he was almost hired to be that scapegoat for this season. And he sort of knew that when he took the job, that he would be in it for a year, take all the flack, basically. And because he's a Barca legend, they sort of were like, well, you can handle it. So we'll move you on at the end of the year.
Like, if you're Ronald Koeman, I mean, you're not going to turn down the chance to manage Barcelona anyway, especially when your previous jobs are Southampton and Everton, and then not doing very well with the Holland national job. So he'd have been a fool to turn that down. I don't think he'll have too many issues with what's going on there. But like I say, I think they need to let go of Messi, move on. Your tactics can't just be rely on him to produce a moment of magic, because the older he gets, it's the less likely it is it's going to happen. He's still capable of it. Obviously, yeah, he's still capable of it. It's just, as I say, if something happens to him, if he gets injured and there's no plan B, because while the other players in the squad they've got are very good, they're not playing the football that they're capable of, you know, put it that way. There's nothing about that Barcelona team that really fills you with confidence, is it, that they're going to go and do something, especially in this tournament when they're going to get, you know, they're getting turned over by PSG.
Definitely not.
Times are changing there, aren't they?
They certainly are, mate. They certainly are. Any more points on this game, lads, before we move on?
I just want to add, I thought Marco Verratti had a really good game for PSG. It was sort of like a number 10 role he was playing in. And he just completely ran the midfield the whole game. All the PSG attacks and movement in the midfield seemed to come through him, and he seemed to then find the attackers moving into, you know, those attacking positions. I was really impressed with him. I think that Pochettino, in terms of how he set the team up, did it really well. Given that he's still new to that side, he seems to have got a good measure on, you know, where to put players, you know, what, how to utilise them and get the best out of them. And he certainly got the best out of Mbappe that night.
He's even getting the best out of Moise Keane as well.
He is,
Duncan Ferguson couldn't do. That's another mad one. Like, he's obviously a really good player, playing for Juve, and then obviously everything went wrong for him at Everton. It's good to see those sorts of players getting a chance. He scored a goal. It's a nice finish as well, his header.
It was a lovely goal. Yeah. It was like when PSG signed Choupo Moting. A really bizarre. They love a little random bizarre transfer, or PSG.
I think with that one, Tuchel had already managed Choupo Moting at least.
Yeah.
This one, I think it could have been Keane's agent kind of got him.
Some agent lobbying.
Yeah. Some agent, that is. I mean, he could well have ended up at like Bournemouth or something, couldn't he? Going from not having a, you know, having a poor spell at Everton.
Moving on, lads, to Liverpool-Leipzig. Liverpool won 2-0. And to be honest, watching this game, I thought Liverpool were really, really good. It was very much like Liverpool of last year. They defended well, attacking-wise. A bit of luck definitely played into their side, into their hands. But I thought Liverpool were really good, dominated the possession, had lots of counter-attacking chances. Paul, I'll start with you. What did you make of this one, mate?
Yeah, I kind of felt the same as you, I guess. They definitely rode their luck at the start with definitely. That chance, that header that hit the post and came back out. Like, that could have easily hit Alisson and gone back in. And then, it was like last season. It was like how they've played before. But then I was kind of thinking, we saw that against Spurs a few weeks ago.
Yeah.
And you're like, ah, shit, this could go either way, especially if Leipzig get a goal. And then, then they, like, obviously they got very lucky with the two goals, at least the like before the finish. Both of the finishes were like impeccable, basically. But
perfect, weren't they?
Yeah, they really were. But yeah, it was one of those that could have gone either way. But then once they got it in the lead, it was like a performance from last season. All right, like reminded me of that game against Bayern two seasons ago away.
Mm.
And it just they just kind of seemed completely in control.
Yeah,
after they got the goals, which I don't think they get enough credit for that. How they're able to, especially in the Champions League, go ahead and kind of shut up shop. But not kind of make it look like they are. So yeah, they did well to keep the clean sheet. And yeah, your man Kabak looked decent. Like a bit like, he reminded me a bit like Sacco on the ball. You don't really know what's going to happen. But then like you keep the ball or he clears it or whatever. So yeah, it was definitely a positive day at the office. For
definitely. Jed, what did you make of this when you watched it back?
Well, obviously I only watched the highlights. I thought that Liverpool were a bit lucky, to be honest. Obviously, didn't see the whole game. But looking at the stats, it looked like they had, you know, the better of the possession, things like that, which you'd expect with Liverpool. But the goals, when they did come for Liverpool, came off two massive mistakes within the Leipzig defence. Obviously, the first one, they just gave the ball away and Salah punished them for it. You know, he's not going to pass up a chance like that, is he? And the second goal, Upamecano is just... let the ball bounce and then sort of tried to flick it over the defense. I don't even know what he's attempted there. Like, just get rid. I don't know what he's doing. But obviously, he lets Mane in for the second chance, and that's it. Game over. I do think that Leipzig are probably still in the tie, but it's a really, really good result for Liverpool to go there, not concede, and get two away goals. You know, going into the next leg. Like Paul mentioned. Could have been a bit a different story if that early chance had gone in off the post. But fair play to Liverpool for going there and getting that result, because I think, especially with how they've been playing in the league at the moment, that's a big win for them.
Yeah, I mean, that chance early on, the way Liverpool's look and especially Alisson's look's been going, I fully expected it to hit Alisson on the back and sort of go in. And I was just, when it didn't, I was very, very, like really gobsmacked. I was like, wow, a bit of luck finally. And then, like you say, they, you know, Leipzig gave the ball straight to Salah, probably the last person you want to give the ball to in that final third. And it was a really good finish. And yeah, that defensive error was shocking for that second goal. Just get rid of the ball anywhere. But to Sadio Mane, again, another player you don't really want to give the ball to in the final third. But I thought Liverpool's midfield three were really, really solid. Thiago had a really good game. But Curtis Jones, I thought, was phenomenal.
Jones was very good.
He was very good. And he looks like he's improving every single game. Some of the way he got past Leipzig players and things like that, the little drops of the shoulder and finding the ball surrounded by two or three players and managing to get out of it and keep the possession nicely with, you know, a simple pass or a big long raking one was really good. And like you say, Paul Kabak as well, I thought was definitely solid, and he got man of the match as well.
Yeah.
Like he is a bit Sacco like, isn't he, with it when he starts running. You don't really know what he's going to do with it.
He's an absolute beast.
He is. Yeah.
Have.
Yeah. I think he pretty much won every header as well, didn't he? Which was good. Liverpool have been lacking someone in that area without Van Dijk and Gomez to win headers on the ball. And I thought that chance at the end as well for Leipzig was I think it was Hwang Chan, was it? When he got in behind Henderson and fired wide. If that had gone in you know, the last couple of minutes, that definitely changes the complexion of the tie. But positive for Liverpool, clean sheet away from home, two away goals. I mean, that's exactly everything that you want from a Champions League knockout game to take back to Anfield, especially. Obviously, without the crowd this year, so it's going to be a different tie for Liverpool. So they'll have to manage it a slightly different way. But I think Liverpool were definitely you know, bang on the money for the win and rightly so. Especially Curtis Jones, I think he's been a great player to come into the side this season.
I think with the second leg, I think if the fans were there, you'd be like, oh, this game's done and dusted. But without the fans, it's definitely a different story.
Absolutely, mate.
Like, I'd still be very confident. Even if Red Bull get a couple of goals or a goal, I'd still be very confident. It seemed like Liverpool are a better team. Like, this is a team that lost 5-0 to United and then conceded two more. So, obviously they have a leaky defence and your man Upamecano had a fairly terrible game. Like, gave the ball away a lot in the first half and just didn't look like a player that Bayern would want or any of the top teams would want. So
he's just signed for
Bayern as well. Yeah.
I mean, so it's a weird one.
Won't fill them with confidence.
He's still really young, obviously. But I think even if Leipzig score a couple of goals, Liverpool will be able to score some as well.
I think Leipzig are a side that play into Liverpool's hands a little bit.
Yeah.
We know, like, Liverpool of old were a massively counter-attacking side, and they definitely lined up to be like that against the this side as well. You know, Leipzig play high up the pitch. They want to attack the side in front of them, and they leave a lot of space behind for Mane and Salah to run into, and we saw that quite a lot in that game. So, you know, Liverpool will know that, and Leipzig will have to be very wary of that, because if they're going to be committing men forward trying to, you know, score the goals to get back into the tie, they're going to leave a lot of space behind. And we know how punishing this Liverpool side can be when it wants to be. And, you know, if players are running through one-on-one, you'd bank on Salah and Mane, you know, sticking one of their chances away and potentially killing the tie. The second leg's going to be interesting. Liverpool, if they play, you know, the same style that they did on Tuesday, I think they'll have no issues at all in this side.
What you got to think is, though, there is quite a big gap between these two legs. A lot can happen within the next sort of 3 weeks or so. So it might be completely different story going into that second leg. Salah might break his leg. Knowing Liverpool's luck this season, potentially could happen. So I personally think that they'll come through it unscathed. But like you say, without the fans there, it always makes it a different kettle of fish, really. And Liverpool have been beaten in the group stage at Anfield this year, I believe. Atalanta beat them?
Atalanta.
Yeah. So it's doable. It's something that Leipzig will obviously look at and look at how they can try and pull off that sort of result as well. But I reckon they'll be fine, though. But you never know.
You never know if that's the fun of knockout football. Moving on to Wednesday's fixtures, lads. Porto producing, I'd consider, quite a massive shock, beating Juventus 2-1, scoring a goal in the first, I think it was the first minute of each half, pretty much, wasn't it?
Have you seen the first goal? It was completely bizarre. What's going on? Like, Szczesny's just been caught napping a little bit, hasn't he? They tried to pass the ball around in their own 18-yard box, sold Szczesny short and got punished for it. Not the way that you'd want to start an away leg in the Champions League tie, is it?
Definitely not, mate. And I think I was sort of flicking between this and the Dortmund game back and forth, but I mostly sort of watched the Dortmund game. So I didn't actually see the goals when they happened. I saw the highlights. But from what I thought, Porto were really, really good. From what I saw, they sort of not dominated, but they definitely outplayed Juventus for large portions of that game.
They looked more up for it, especially in the first half. Again, as they came out for the second half, Juve caught napping straight away. Mm. You know, the second goal went in. And I think overall, Porto did look good value for the win. But I do think that Juventus were a little bit hard done by at the end. With the penalty that wasn't given. I think they said on the telly that Ronaldo was on his way down when that ball was sort of dropping and when the contact was.
That doesn't sound like Ronaldo.
Well, I mean, he's sort of like, he's leaning in the direction of where the ball's dropped. Like, I think it's a bit harsh to say he was already on his way down when the contact happened, because the contact happened, or while he probably was going to dive anyway, like, the contact happens. And if there's contact, it's got to be a penalty, hasn't it? Like, it stopped him from being able to win that ball. And, you know, it's Cristiano Ronaldo. He's quite athletic. So he might not have hit the net there. He might well have gone on and got on the end of that ball. So I think that's a bit of a harsh decision, to be honest. But they're definitely still in the tie.
Oh, yeah.
Got the away goal there. Interesting game, though. Big result for Porto.
Massive result. It's their first win against Juventus in 5 encounters with them. They've lost 4 before that and drew 1. So they'll be massively inspired by this, I think. And I think the second leg will be interesting, whether Porto sit back and try to just keep Juventus out or whether they try and hit them on the break. But I think the second leg will be a really interesting tie, because Juventus are going to have to go for it. Obviously, they're going to have to go for it. So it'll be interesting to see how Porto set up, definitely. Paul, what did you make of this game?
Yeah, just on the second leg, it'll be interesting to see if it turns into the Ronaldo show. It's all I have in my head is that Ronaldo game against Atletico Madrid when they came back from 2-0 down, and he's got a hat-trick, I think, in the return leg. So, I was like obviously surprised by this result, and then making it 2-1 gives Juve a bit of an advantage, but they haven't been the best this season. Other seasons they've been walking to the league title basically, and they're 8 points behind, I think, now with a game in hand. So it's not the same Juve that everyone is kind of used to.
Yeah.
So definitely a chance, like obviously a big chance for Porto to go through. I think if Juve get an early goal, then it obviously all changes, but yeah, Porto should be confident enough. But yeah, it's like, how can you start a Champions League match like and concede in the first minute and then do the exact same in the second half? Like,
you think they'd have learned their lesson, wouldn't you, after the first one goes in? I mean,
yeah.
I had exactly the same reaction you did, mate, when the second one went in. I was like, how have you done that? It's carbon copy. Like,
surely, like, you would have thought as well, like, going into the dressing room at half time. I mean, I don't know what Andrea Pirlo's team talks are like. I'm guessing they're quite suave,
yeah,
sophisticated. But surely one of the things he would have said is, don't let that happen again. Like, switch on straight away. Because otherwise you're going to get punished. And they've literally they were still in the dressing room when that game, the second half kicked off, weren't it? It's clearly weird. You wouldn't expect that from a team as good as Juve. But like Paul said, they've been underwhelming this season, I think, by their own standards in Serie A. So there's every chance that Porto could pull off a shock and beat them in 3 weeks' time. I do see that happening. Off the strength of that performance, there's no reason why they can't go there and win.
I can imagine Pirlo's team talk just being him talking through like his wine of the week. He's like red wine of the week. It's all he talks about for 15 minutes, sends them back out, and they just don't have a clue what they're doing.
I think he just blow dries his hair, and they sort of just look at him, and they're like, oh, God.
I wish I'd hair like that.
Yeah, one day I'll be as cool as him.
definitely the coolest manager around, that's for sure. Moving on to the second Champions League game on the Wednesday. The game I spent more of my time watching, Sevilla and Dortmund. Sevilla getting beat 3-2. 3 away goals for Dortmund. And just like the PSG game with the Mbappe show, this was definitely the Haaland show. Did you catch much of this one?
I was sort of the same, sort of flicking between them. But I mean, from what I did see of this game, it was absolutely brilliant. Really entertaining.
Was an entertaining game, yeah.
Haaland is just a beast. It's like all of Just watching his goals.
Scary.
Are yeah. Incredible. Yeah. Just powers through everyone. Even the first goal that like the other guy scored.
Great goal.
Nutmeg, the first defender, and then just beat another player and passed it off to him. Like he's not 19 or 20. It's absolutely sick.
Yeah, the thing is as well, he's a number 9, isn't he? And he's sort of every goal he seems to start like on the halfway line. And drops in really deep, picks the ball up, and like Sevilla were just like they looked frightened of him when he was running on the ball. And he's just absolutely ripped into shreds. Like that De Hood goal was an absolute screamer.
Yeah. Oh,
brilliant goal. Right in the top bin. And then this like the first Haaland goal, the second Dortmund goal was just incredible. He's ran from the halfway line, just charged forward. Nobody's put any sort of pressure on him because they're like, he's going to fucking rip us here. And then he does a little 1-2 and the ball's dinked over the top. And he just he's always going to get to that ball first because he's got legs like a gazelle sprinting through that defence. And then he's just obviously he's going to apply the finish as well. He is an absolutely incredible player. And he's only 20 years old as well. Scarily good.
He is like ridiculous, isn't he? Haaland, I mean, I think he's got 18 Champions League goals since the start of last season. And Dortmund, crazy. I mean, you know, they're not getting to the final every year. So to get that many goals is like ridiculous in the amount of games that they're playing. But like you say, I've sort of been watching a few of Dortmund's games this year when they've been on the telly. And every time I watch him, like you say, Jed, everyone's scared to like go near him. He's such a brilliant footballer already. And I think, 19, 20, you know, he's not even, you know, in his prime yet. So, you know, whereas we had Messi and Ronaldo, it could be Haaland and Mbappe as the new sort of power couple.
I think it definitely will be, to be honest. I think it definitely will be. The thing that I like most about Haaland is that he's quite a tall lad, isn't he? He's not under 6 foot, but he's got great feet. And he seems to just, he carries the ball so well. For a centre forward of his size, you would think, you wouldn't expect that really of him. You'd think that he'd be more sort of aerial. But he can do that as well. Like, great player. He dominated this game. Standout performer. But, Sevilla, to their credit, they fought back in the second half. They gave it a good go and they've made a game of it. It's definitely going to be an interesting second leg in this one as well, because it's one of those that can go either way, isn't it? And for as good as Haaland is, he can't defend for Dortmund as well. So they are guilty of potentially making a mistake every now and then. Got unlucky with the goal they conceded first, actually, with the deflection taking it past the keeper. But it's finally poised this one, just like the Porto Juventus tie.
Yeah, it definitely is. In other Dortmund news as well, Jude Bellingham getting a start as well. So I think he's the youngest English player to start a knockout game in the Champions League. And obviously him and Sancho, two young English players playing consistently well for a German side in the Champions League, that only bodes well. I think they sort of not get forgotten about because they're in Germany, but when you talk about English talent, they're not as obviously as spoken about as everyone over here because of the fact that they're not in this country. Yeah. But, they're Sancho getting the assist last night and him linking up with Haaland is insane as well. I mean, Sancho and Haaland are sort of becoming a bit of a double act at Dortmund. And I know the Dortmund fans absolutely love the pair of them.
Why wouldn't you?
This is it. But if you're a manager of a side and you've got the chance to sign Mbappe or Haaland, which one do you go for?
Don't make us choose.
Enjoy
them both?
You're a Coventry manager. You've had who do you go for out of the two? The chairman said one or the other. You've got one or the other.
I'm going to cut them both in half down the middle and stitch them together and make one super player.
You can't do that.
Do you know what? At this point, I genuinely can't choose between them. I'm sitting on that fence. Come back to me in a year's time.
I'm going to go for Haaland, I reckon. just a bit younger.
Big shout.
By 2 years. but he's just a good, yeah, I don't know. Mbappe's a goal machine.
Mbappe's won the World Cup, right?
Yeah, and Haaland.
Haaland plays for Norway, though. Come on.
Like, I just
he might win the World Cup on his own.
Exactly.
Like watching Haaland just go so direct. And as you said, not playing for one of the best teams in the Champions League.
Mm.
And yeah, he just scores for fun.
Yeah.
So yeah, he's just, but yeah, I know, both good players.
Do you know the thing I like most about Erling Haaland is that his idol growing up was Michu at Swansea?
Yeah.
Well, that first Michu season, I mean, he's clearly got some influence from there, hasn't he?
100%.
Michu. That's a random one, isn't it?
If you think about it, though, without Michu, there's no Erling Haaland. We're not having this conversation now, are we? So,
thank you, Michu.
That's the best. That for me, that's the standout thing about Erling Haaland. Great footballer. All thanks to Michu.
Loves Michu.
Did you see when, like obviously he was born in Leeds or whatever, and then when they played Northern Ireland, Norway played Northern Ireland, and he got Stuart Dallas's
shirt. He supports Leeds, doesn't he?
Like marching on together or whatever.
Yeah.
Which is so hilarious. Like, he's one of the most famous people in the world or in football, and he's asking for Stuart Dallas's shirt. He's obviously just a massive Leeds fan or football fan in general.
I think he is a Leeds fan, because obviously his dad played for Leeds, didn't he?
So. Yeah.
His interviews are great as well. Like, they're very Zlatan, aren't they? Like, it's just such like a there's a lot of like everyone saying he's like a robot, isn't he?
he's to the point, isn't he? I guess he sort of plays that way as well, don't he? He's just like, I'm getting the ball, I'm going in the midfield, I'm taking it forward.
I'm gonna score.
I'm gonna pass it to you, and then you're gonna whip one into the top corner. For
yeah.
Great
no,
player.
He's a great player, and I think the next 10 years with Mbappe and Haaland, you know, if they keep going the way they are, it's going to be another thoroughly entertaining generational battle between the two.
Definitely.
And one that I certainly look forward to. Lads, Champions League's back. Obviously, first half of the games were this week. The next half of the last 16 are coming next week. So we'll bring this show back. So unfortunately, that's time to end, lads. But it's been a great show talking about, you know, only four games, but we've had lots of talking points. So anything
Champions
else?
League is all about, isn't it? They don't do 0-0s in the Champions League.
Definitely
there's
not.
There's no Brighton Burnleys in the Champions League.
Imagine.
So first, thank you, Jed. Always a pleasure, mate.
Absolutely, mate.
And thank you, Paul, as well.
Cheers.
Oh, Paul, you have a new article up as well, don't you? Do you want to plug that, mate?
Oh, yeah. This actually I stole from my brother. He was messaging me about it, and everyone saw the referee square up to Alan Judge, and then he was like reading it, and he's like, oh, yeah, that's fine. And then he got a push notification from Sky, and he's just like, what's this all about? And then, I just decided to write about how Sky kind of basically spreading this video or whatever, but kind of knowing in the background that ref is going to get a lot of abuse, while at the same time Sky plug Black Lives Matter and all those other good campaigns as well. So there's a bit of hypocrisy there. So yeah, I wrote about it. So check it out on Twitter, I think.
Yeah, it's up on our Twitter.
Across our website as well, and Facebook and that.
Yeah, and it's a really, really interesting read, and I definitely enjoyed it. It's a good take on it for sure. But that's all we've got time for this week. So thank you, everybody, for listening, and cheery bye.
Sports Social Podcast Network.